Right, let's look in the book of Exodus again this morning, chapter 3, or actually chapter 4. We're going to continue discussing and talking about as God and how God imparts vision to us. Last week, we started in the first part of the third chapter and seeing that there are two things that when God begins to speak to us about vision in our lives in an area. One, He starts with confrontation with us. He confronts us in the midst of our daily life about, again, understanding that here we are and we see where we should or need to be, and getting from this place to this place, how does that take place? How does that transpire? And the whole begins with God confronting us. In that confrontation, as we saw with Moses, God coming into the bush that's burning, it was an unusual way to confront him, but it was something that got his attention. But again, he had to be alert and paying attention in his daily life and attuned to the work and movement of God as God began to speak to him. And in this confrontation, there was revelation. God began to show him, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the task that I'm giving you to perform. And we saw throughout different individuals' lives in Scripture how that was so true. How God confronted Abraham, gave him revelation of who he was, and began to reveal to him what he wanted him to do. The same thing with other incidents in Scripture and individuals, as we saw with Peter and with Paul, with Gideon, with David. All of these people, as they came to a place in their life where God had something for them in their life to do, He confronted them and then revealed to them not only something about Himself and who He is and what He's like, but also what He was calling them to. And when that happens in our lives, there's always another step. Once there's confrontation and revelation, the third thing that happens on our part is hesitation. Hesitation. Now, this took place with Moses. God had already revealed Himself to him. He'd already told him what He wanted him to do. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he begins, "Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you." What Moses was actually saying here in the beginning of chapter 4 is this: But, and you see that happens with us. When God shows us what He wants us to do, and He has for us to do, we start realizing what it's going to take to get from here, where we are in our level of dissatisfaction, but realizing we need to get over here, but we start realizing that it's going to be a journey and it may not be easy, and there are tasks that we're going to have to perform, and a lot of things begin to run through our mind, and we immediately throw up with God a but. Now you see, just like with Moses, when we say, but, what if, to God, those buts are always based on fear. Always. And what those fears are numerous, but there are several that immediately stand out even within this text. We fear others. We fear what they will think, what they will say about us or to us as we begin to try to follow what we believe God wants us to do in our lives. We fear their opinions. We fear their rejection. But not only that, there's not only a fear of others, but there is a fear of failure. Because in our minds, we realize where we are and where we need to be, and we feel like God's shown us that, and sometimes it is a large leap for us. It's getting into a place where we've never been before, and the what if says, one is, what if God doesn't come through for you? What if God doesn't keep His end of the bargain? What if God doesn't fulfill His promises? What if God doesn't give you the strength? What if about God? What if God does not do what He says He's going to do? And you'll be reminded of past times in your lives of things that you thought maybe God wanted you to do and then it didn't happen and how you may have missed God and then all of that. But just the whole idea of the possibility of failing. Your lack of successes, as we talked about the other week in the past. Where you started out well, but you didn't finish. You started in the direction, but you didn't follow through. And so you've kind of developed this lie. You've believed this lie that's been planted in your mind that, oh, well, you didn't do it last time. You're not going to do it again this time. You're just going to fail just exactly like you did the last time. The enemy will put the "you can't" lies in your mind. You can't do this. You can't get there. You don't have the strength. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the ability. You can't do it. It's impossible. Think about Peter. After the Lord had called him, and we saw that incident when he was in the boat with Jesus, and, you know, he falls down and says, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, because from now on you will catch men." There's the revelation. But as Peter is going through the next several years of walking with Jesus, and he's learning, he's growing, that vision is still out there in front of him. And then when the moment of real vital commitment and love and the opportunity to demonstrate that comes to him, in that moment where Jesus is taken prisoner, he denies him. Not only denies him once, but denies him three different times and cursed and swore and came very, very close, even to committing blasphemy against Jesus because he was trying to save his own hide because of his fear. And after that, he goes away, he's alone, he's weeping bitterly. We don't have any real information about that period of time between that night and the resurrection. And then when Jesus appeared to Peter, that's all we know, that he appeared to him at some point after his resurrection. We don't know the conversation they had, but we do know the conversation they had by the lake before the ascension of Christ, when Jesus asked Peter three different times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because he was reiterating again the revelation of what he wanted him to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care and feed my lambs. Didn't bring up the past, but you have to know what was running through Peter's mind. The failures of the past. You didn't succeed. What if you blow it again? And you know what? He almost did again in Antioch, where he was confronted by Paul face to face. But even at that, he didn't let that stop him. He didn't let it stop him. He got up. He didn't listen to the lies. He did not focus on what his failures were in the past. He focused on what God had called him to do. Some people even fear success. They really do. They don't know how to handle it if they accomplish it. They don't know what to do with themselves if they achieve this goal, or if they actually get to the point of fulfilling whatever vision they have that they believe that God has given to them. They don't know how to handle it. And so the fear of success keeps them from even trying. But you see, fear will do one thing. Fear will always keep you away from God's best for you. Always do that. Because God has a desired end for you in every area of your life. He has goals. He has things that He wants to see you achieve and accomplish in your life, in your physical life, your relationships, your finances, your vocation, your location, as we talked about the other day, where we are. All of those things. He has things that He wants to accomplish through you. And He's got to impart that vision to you. And if you allow fear, whether it's the fear of others, the fear of failure, the fear of success, or any other kind of fear, it will always keep you from God's best. And you will always be living a settled for life. A life that's always less than what God has intended for you to live. There's always hesitation on our part. What if they will not believe me? See, Moses now in chapter 4 here, he's starting. He's chapter 3, okay, he's got the call and God's revealed this stuff to him, but now it's starting to work through his mind. And the human part of him is beginning to think through this whole thing and what it's going to entail. And now there's this hesitation on his part. And then he said, "For they may say." Had he actually talked to any of them yet? No. Hadn't talked to any of them yet. He'd been gone for 40 years. But he is already visualizing a negative outcome in the future. He's already visualizing failure. He's already visualizing them rejecting him. He is living in a future that does not yet exist, that he has created in his own mind. And that future is a future where God is absent from it all. Because he's looking at it from his perspective. What if they? We do the same thing. We start projecting into a future, and when we start doing that, we're projecting into a future where God is absent and he's not there. Because we're projecting something in our own mind apart from him. It's not something that he's imparted to us, and we're imagining how it will be, what will happen in our own limited understanding, not knowing the real picture out there. We're creating a false picture in our mind with the what ifs. And a fear of a future. It doesn't reflect reality. So this hesitation that Moses expresses to God, God will always take care of our buts and what ifs. He will always have an answer for them. When you look down through verses 2 through 8 here in chapter 4, notice what God says. Or actually, yeah, he says, the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he says, "A rod, a staff." And God says, "Throw it on the ground." Now, that may not seem significant to you, but for Moses, this is the last thing that his identity is tied to. For 40 years now, he's been tied to this identity, a shepherd. One who tends the flocks of his father-in-law. Prior to that, he was the right-hand man in Egypt. He was educated. He was next in line possibly for ruling all of Egypt. He was a great military leader. He was all of these things. And then after what happened, and he flees to the desert for 40 years, he's been in obscurity. He's a nobody now in the minds and hearts of most people. He's just a poor, wandering sheep herder. And this staff identifies who he is, and God is saying, "Lay it down to me. Throw it down. Trust me with who you are. Trust me with who you are. Lay it down." So Moses does what God says. It says that he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Can you, I mean, when you read these stories, do you stop and see the scene in your mind? I mean, the guy standing before a burning bush, he's got his shoes off, he throws the rod down and it turns into a vicious serpent, and he takes off running. Running. He didn't just kind of easily back away. It says he took off and tore out of the scene. And then God says to him, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by the tail. Pick it up." Moses comes back, stretches out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff again. And he says that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Okay, you show them this. That'll prove a point to them. Then the Lord furthermore said to him, "Put your hand into your bosom. Stick your hand inside your garment." And it says he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, literally scales. It was covered in scales. It was leprosy, like white snow. And you can imagine, again, him seeing this, the fear that gripped his heart. Now he says, "Put your hand back in your bosom again." So he put it back into his bosom, and when he took it out of his, it was restored just like the rest of his flesh. And he says, "If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign." So God is saying, look, you're thinking one thing. You're saying, but, what if? Here, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of it. Throw the rod down, it'll become a serpent. It'll prove a point to them. Put your hand in, it'll turn leprous, and they'll see that. And then to put it back in, it'll come out just like a baby skin. They will see that. They will believe, I'm taking care of your what ifs. I will take care of all the things that you're worried about, many of which will not happen, by the way. And all of your insecurity and fear about you getting from here to there, I have it all under control. Just trust me. Just trust me. So he will always take care of those things. But then here's another danger that happens in our hesitation. Not only do we have the buts and the what ifs and that God says he will take care of, but then we have the danger of beginning to look at ourselves and see ourselves from our perspective and not God's. Moses does this. In verse 10, it says to him, it says, Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent. Neither recently nor in time past, nor since you've spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now Moses is getting another excuse because he's starting to see, I can't do this because I have a problem being able to speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm not, you know, great at giving speeches in front of people and any of those things. You know that. You know that. So I can't. Because he realizes what God's calling him to do. He's going to have to speak to people. He's going to have to speak to the leader of the world, known world at that time. Probably the most powerful man on the planet in his day. I can't do that. And then it says, the Lord said to him, who's made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go. I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what you are to say. You see, God's strength, as Paul would later write, is always made perfect in our weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Yes, you and I have limited capabilities. Yes, you and I have limited capacities. But where we are weak and we think that we can't get from here to there and do what God is leading us to do or accomplish in this area of our life, he will make up all the difference and supply all that we need to strengthen us in those areas. He always has and he always will. We have no excuse. All he's asking us to do is to step out and to trust him. Abraham had to step out and trust God when he left Ur of Chaldees to go. He had no idea where. He could have made a lot of excuses. He could have made a lot of buts and what ifs. But he followed. And God, where he was weak, God intervened and worked in his times of weaknesses and supplied his needs. He did the same for Paul. He did the same for Peter. He did the same for David. He did the same for all of the people who stepped out and walked with him and followed what he had revealed to them that he wanted them to do. He took care of them. So we can't see ourselves from God's viewpoint, from our viewpoint. We have to see ourselves as God sees us. I can help you. I will enable you to do this. Just like when the spies went into the promised land and when they came to the cities and they saw the Anakim, the giants that were there. And they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't defeat them. Joshua and Caleb's response was, no, in our own strength, basically, we cannot, but God will deliver them to us. Yes, we're weak, but he's strong, and he will do what needs to be done to enable us to succeed. They didn't believe, and it cost them dearly, because they only saw themselves from their viewpoint, not as God saw them, as his army, as his people that he was leading in to possess the land and that he would take care of for them, everything they needed. So Moses is going through this hesitation, but then he decides after this discourse with God, and God gets a little ruffled with him and says, look, okay, fine. I'll send Aaron, your brother, and I'll speak to you, and you speak to Aaron, and Aaron will be like you, a prophet, and you will be like God to Aaron, because I'll be speaking to you. Okay, I've taken care of everything, Moses. So when Moses steps out, and he follows God, and he heads to Egypt, when he comes away from that burning bush, something begins to happen. Transformation now. His confrontation with God that led to revelation of God and who God is and what God wanted him to do, that led to his hesitation and this dialogue back and forth about the what ifs and the buts and all of those things. It all gets settled and Moses steps out in obedience, which begins the process of transformation in this man's life. He begins to be changed. He begins to transform from the inside out. It says in verse 18, Moses departed, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So he's already making the way, and this transformation starts because now this man is leaving everything that he's become comfortable with now for the last 40 years of his life, and he is going into the lion's den. And he doesn't know what's waiting for him, but God gives him, okay, hey, the people that were looking to kill you aren't there anymore, so you can scratch that out of your mind and not worry about that. But there are still other things. He had no idea what's waiting for him. So this transformation now, okay, the fear is starting to be dealt with. His intrepidation about going back is starting to be dealt with, and he starts to head back down into Egypt. Now listen, in this process of obeying God and fulfilling the vision for God's life, and it happens the same thing for you and me, it is not always easy. In fact, I can guarantee you it won't be easy. It doesn't matter whether simply you're trying to change your body and lose a few pounds. It's not easy. Getting your finances in a different place where God is calling you to is not easy. Relationships that need to be mended and fixed and made whole and restored, bringing about transformation and change, is not easy. It is never easy. Don't go and think if God calls you to do something and he reveals to you a purpose and a plan and a vision for your life in an area that it's just going to be a bed of roses and it's not going to be a problem and it's not going to be hard at all. It is not easy. So we need to understand that and get that in our minds, because at the first bump in the road, if we think that, we'll quit. We'll immediately think, oh, God didn't tell me to do this. It wouldn't be this hard if God had told me to do this. That's not true. We need to understand that it is not going to be easy. One, just like Moses, we're being called to step out of our comfort zone. And comfort zones will always kill you. Comfort zones will always keep you from transforming and growing. Comfort zones are not created by God. Not human ones. The comfort zone of living in his presence and his peace and his provision, that's a good place to be, because even in the midst of trouble, everything is still well. We step out knowing that it's not going to be easy. And know this, there's going to be resistance. When he got to Egypt, did Pharaoh, as soon as Moses walked in and said, hey, God wants us to go worship him out on the mountain. He says, let my people go. Then Pharaoh said, hey, dude, no problem. You guys head on out. We know that's not what happened. Not at all. In fact, when he asked and made that request, Pharaoh got so hacked off about it that he said, you know what? There's so many, they must be lazy down there in Goshen. They must be lazy. I tell you what, instead of us providing all the straw and everything they need to make bricks, let them go out and cut the straw and do it. And yet, I don't want the tally of bricks to be short, not one, at the end of the day. They're going to have to go do that now. Well, guess what? When they had to do that, guess who they got mad at? Pharaoh? No, they got mad with Moses. Look what you've brought on us. Look at the trouble you've caused in our life by you coming down here, telling us God sent you to do this. Yeah, we saw the rod turn to a snake. We saw the leper. We saw all that. But still, look what problems you've brought on us now. It would have been better if you just never had shown up. Not going to be easy. There's going to be resistance. And Pharaoh resisted him, resisted him, resisted him, resisted him. Over and over and over again. You're going to experience resistance when you start to try to move in different places in your life. There's going to be resistance. It's going to pop up in you. Habits that you're going to see rise up that you need to break that have kept you out from God's best for you in the past, that you're going to have to say, hey, I can't let this continue to control my life. I've got to stop this. Not going to be easy. Like I said, other people will resist you. Other people will challenge you. Other people will question why you're doing what you're doing. You'll have unexpected trouble. People will question your vision around you. Family members will do it. I mean, you'll have all of that coming just like Moses had. And understand this, that transformation and the fulfillment of God's vision in your life does not happen overnight. We don't know how many weeks, days or months went by in this series of plagues that happened there in Egypt. We don't know. Could have been relatively short, but we don't know. Moses was not given God a timeline. Moses was not told by God, now when you get down there, it's going to be 3 weeks to the day and you'll be out. That would have been nice because all the trouble he was experiencing in the first few days he was there, he could have said, okay, I've got 4 days behind me now. All I've got, you know, is about 17 more to go. I just get through those, we're out of here. Doesn't happen overnight. Transformation takes place over time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. Sometimes it's just a matter of you being able to get out of bed in the morning and take the next step. And then take the next one and the next one, willing yourself to do it to get through what you're going through to where God wants you to be, whatever it may be. It's not easy. And if anybody ever tells you that it is, they're lying to you. Moses experienced that and knew that the timing and all of that was in God's hands. But see, here's the thing that's happening in the process of you getting from here to here. One thing is growing inside of you, and that is faith and trust in God. It's growing. Can you imagine, maybe not with all the children of Israel. There were a select group around Moses that this was going on with, but in Moses' heart himself, with every successive act of God, him bringing judgment against Pharaoh and against the gods of Egypt, that with each successive one, Moses' faith was getting stronger. His trust and his confidence in God was growing. And he was being, because everything that God was doing, every single plague that happened and took place, and Moses saw these manifestations happening, each one of those was getting him ready to stand before a sea and stick a rod over it and wait for it to part. And then once he saw that happen, his faith being bolstered in God even more, it was getting him ready to go up on a mountain and meet with God and then come down and lead people, a nation, into God's best for them, which was going to require a tremendous amount of confidence and trust in God to take care of them on that journey to the promised land. He was not ready for that when he got to Egypt the first time. He wasn't ready. But with each successive thing that took place, his faith was growing and increasing in God. Same thing happens with us. In the process of time, as we're going through these transforming periods in our lives and we're getting from here to here, in the journey, our faith is being strengthened. It's growing. And as it is growing, there are things that God is showing us in our lives that have been hindrances to us that need to be removed. Things that have stumbled and caused us to trip up and fall in the past. We see those things and God says, okay, here's an area. As you're growing, here's an area that has tripped you up. It's been a pothole for you in the past. Let's deal with that now. Face it and deal with it now. Let's get it out of the way. I want to cut this out of your life. It's kind of like he and the Father, Son, and Spirit are looking at us and saying, you know what? That does not look like my son. That does not look like my daughter. That's something we've got to deal with. And so because of where you're at in this process and the pressures being put on and the things that are happening, it rises to the top and God says, okay, now let's deal with this. This attitude, this disposition, this habit, whatever it might be, let's cut it out of your life. which then enables faith to flourish and grow and blossom. Because it's been like something that's been capping and keeping faith from growing in your life. It's transformation that's happening. And you see, not only that, as you go through this period of transformation, not always easy, but your faith is being built. But here's another thing. You get to see God be God and do what only God can do. I mean, Moses is standing there. He's watching rivers turn to blood. He's watching locusts and plagues come. He's watching amazing thick darkness that you could feel take over a land while his people are dwelling in the light. He's looking at all kinds of miraculous things happening. He goes and sees an ocean open up before him to take nearly 2 million people through it on dry land. He gets to watch the presence of God in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day go before them. He gets to watch the most powerful army in the earth buried in the ocean behind him, alleviating any fears of future reprisals from them. He gets to see God do what only God alone can do. He gets to see God be supernatural and manifest his power in his behalf. Because he decided, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to follow God to here. And my faith is growing, but I'm also in the process seeing God do what only God can do. And there is nothing that will encourage you and motivate you and thrill you and keep you going in the midst of difficulty to try to get to where you believe God's called you to be in an area of your life than watching God be God and do what only God can do. And it did for Moses. You also get to know God like you've never known him before. Moses had a very, introductory knowledge of God at the burning bush. But then as this process went on, he started to get to know him. And here's the thing. The people of Israel saw God's work, the psalmist says, but Moses knew God's ways. There was an intimacy that developed between the two of them. And he got to know God's heart and why God did what he did. And remember, as we talked about in the revelation of God's name on that mountain, he got to see why God is like he is and why he does what he does, because God unveiled the innermost parts of his being as who his essence was, as love and goodness to him. And when we're starting our journey of transformation and we step out and we get past the what ifs and the buts and all of those things and we start to follow God, we get to know him like we've never known him before. And in that process, as we get to know him, we begin to reflect and reveal his glory and his likeness. People begin to see him in us, in whatever area we're growing in. After Moses came down from that mountain, remember what was happening? He was glowing like the sun, to the point where the people of Israel were scared to look at him. He was radiating the likeness of God off of him because he'd been in God's presence. And you and I, when we start, again, it doesn't matter whether it's in our finances, our physical body, our relationships, our vocations, whatever. When we start pursuing God's vision for us in that area, do you know what people are going to start saying and seeing? They're going to start seeing Christ manifested in you and through you in that area, because that area is going to be being conducted and it's going to be reflecting and revealing Christ's likeness about whatever you're doing. It's going to have the very glow and nature of heaven about it. People will see that. And God will make sure that people see that. And you see, your obedience to God in the, whatever area you're working in, is always going to do this, as we talked about last week. It is always going to lead other people into God's best for them as well. Moses, being obedient to God's vision, resulted in several million people experiencing the fulfillment of a promise made to Abraham. They were led into a land flowing with milk and honey. They were led into a land that would be sacred to them, where God would dwell with them. God's best for them as a people. All because of one man obeying God's vision for him. And stepping out, getting past the what ifs and the buts and the fears, and just moving forward against the resistance, against the troubles, against the difficulties, and persevering through it all resulted in other people being blessed. God's vision, again, when he gives something to us in our lives, is not just about us. It's always about other people. And the impact us being obedient in this area of our lives is going to have on them. It always will be. And it will always result in them experiencing God and his best for them in that area. You see, when you read through the book of Exodus, especially this book and Numbers and the journeys, you're seeing all of this unfold in the fulfillment of a man saying yes to what God showed him that he wanted him to do. He just said yes. And the same will result for you and me in whatever area of our lives it might be in. I mean, we look back at our life when we were married. We knew one of the things that was told to us by someone right after we got married, and actually this person that actually had a dream about us. And one of the things in the dream, they said the Lord spoke to them and said, they have a lot of traveling they're going to have to do. We didn't know what that meant. And then 2-3 months later, we ended up leaving North Carolina, going to Florida. And with every successive move in our life, everything that we did, what we felt we were pursuing and following God's vision, was all leading us and preparing us to ultimately leave the country. But we didn't know that. All we knew to do was to say yes and start following. And all along the way, was it easy? No. Did we have resistance? Yes. Were there difficulties? Yes. Were there times you wanted to quit and throw in the towel? Absolutely. Absolutely. But each successive time, did we see God come through? Yes. Did we see miracles? Yes. Did we get to know God better? Yes. Were we becoming more conformed to the image of Jesus? Yes. Were other people's lives being affected by our obedience to what God was calling us to do? Yes. And it's that way in every area of a person's life. Your life, my life, doesn't matter. But we have to take the time to stop and say, okay, God, what is it you want to do in my life? What area do you want me to focus on? And let him begin to show you and give you a revelation of that. Let it begin to unfold inside of you. And then step out and obey. Start moving toward it, knowing that it won't be easy, but you will see God be God. And you will be changed as a result of it. Because you see, ultimately, as each step we take in our lives, doing the things that we feel like God's called us to do, ultimately, there's this transformation that God is after on the inside of us, conforming us to the image of Jesus, building Christ-likeness in us, which in turn impacts the world around us and points people to Christ. When the children of Israel got into the promised land, remember what it was said about them? They went into Jericho, and remember what Rahab said to the spies? We have heard about your God and what he did for you. And the whole land is full of fear of you guys. When you step out and obey God, people will hear. They will see the reality of this God be who he is in your life. And it will impact them in ways you can't imagine. All God's asking you to do is ask him, what would you have me do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do in this area? And then let him unfold that. And then you make the choice to step out and obey and watch him work. Father, thank you for your willingness to invite us into a journey in so many areas of our lives. And each of us this morning are looking at and thinking through things in our own personal life about what you're calling us to do. I pray, Lord God, that you would just give each person here a clear understanding of your will for them in whatever area you're wanting to work. And it may just be one particular area right now that you're calling them to seek you about. But speak to them and make it clear to them what your will is for them. Give them the grace, the strength, the inner drive and power by your Spirit to do what needs to be done and to step out and to do as we always sing, trust and obey. Because there is truly no other way. In Jesus' name.